everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to The Kelly O Show. Today's interview is one that I recorded I recorded this last year. So this is one of these legacy interviews from Fitfluential Radio. We're just about done uploading the last few of these. So they're all good stuff. And in fact, it's so funny, as I'm pulling the show notes from these, I'm remembering the interviews. I'm like, oh, I'm so upset these didn't go live. This interview is going to be great. Sarah Grace is a personal trainer and a registered dietitian. And a lot of what we're talking about here is something that, you know, I'm very passionate about addressing, which is, you know, for us women, how we can get into excessive dieting, overtraining, really just pushing ourselves too hard to achieve what we want to in our fitness journey. And quite often when we do that, I know that's what happened with me, we can not only stop our progress, but we can create a host of other problems that are more long-term in nature and can be more significant than just, hey, I'm not able to lose weight like I was before. You can end up with hormonal imbalance, adrenal fatigue, cortisol issues, any combination of the above. So these are all things that I want to address so that more and more of you, as you hear some of these different interviews, you can go, you know, maybe you don't even realize like you're slipping into that. You're slipping into that, you know, wanting each one of your workout sessions to be longer than the last one, obsessively looking at your heart rate monitor and making sure you're constantly burning more and more calories. And you find yourself eating less and less and less, and you find yourself more tired and you're not seeing results. Those are signs that you've fallen into some of these, you know, issues that are going to become extremely detrimental, and not just, again, to your fitness journey. So I know you're going to enjoy this interview. Sarah has so much personality and great insight on how she changed her mindset, but also what she knows is important about nutrition and balance in our fitness journey. So sit back and enjoy. This is a 30-minute interview with Sarah Grace. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa, and today on the show, we are welcoming Sarah Grace Spann. I know her as Sarah Grace, so I have to keep remembering to say her whole name this time, but this was really a fantastic interview, and I have been trying to get her on the show for a while, and I'm so glad we did. I know that you're going to enjoy our chat. She is both a registered dietitian and a personal trainer. And what's interesting about this interview is we ended up talking quite a lot about mindset. And this is something that is coming up repeatedly in so many of our conversations, both intentionally, meaning we've had some guests on the show where we're specifically talking about the mental side of fitness, mindset, being mindful, addressing emotional eating issues, and so on and so forth. I know in my own life, but also in the lives of so many, it's my personal opinion that conquering our mindset issues or our mental issues around food and diet and our weight and our body image, I think that's probably the most important factor for success. And so having all of these different voices on the show, sharing their background about how they've either come to peace with food,
been able to, you know, have a better relationship or a healthier relationship with food, where they're not scared of food, that it's awesome, because we've had so many people writing into us. In fact, we've been doing quite a lot of polling with our Fitfluential community. And the more that we ask, do you have issues with binge eating, emotional eating, mindset around your weight or your weight loss journey? It's overwhelming, the response. 90% of folks have issues and want us to talk more about this and provide different solutions. So I know that you're really going to enjoy Sarah's perspective, and certainly some of her tips as well. So as usual, our chat ended up going a little bit over our time, and it's certainly worth it. And we certainly hope that we will have Sarah back on the show. It was an excellent interview. And again, I know you're going to come away with a lot of easy to apply tips that can help you get started as we go into the summertime of 2018, where the eating is good and plenty, and we need tips and tricks and techniques that we can apply day in and day out for just success, being healthy and being able to eat and enjoy life and not be stressed out about it. So tune in, sit back and enjoy this interview with Sarah Gray Spann.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. Today on the show, I am welcoming Sarah Grace. Sarah, welcome to the show. Happy to have you. Are you ready to go?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much for having me on, Kelly.
I'm thrilled, and I think people are going to really enjoy this conversation, because we're talking about a theme and a topic that is of interest to so many people, and it's come up a lot. So I'm excited to dive into that. But before we get started, I think you know the drill. Whenever I have somebody on the show the first time, I always like them to share with our audience their fitness story. You know, when was it for you in your life that you got into leading a fitness lifestyle, that you became interested in working out and eating right? You know, you're a trainer, you're a registered dietitian. When was it for you and why?
Yeah, so I was always a competitive athlete my whole life, but the nutrition side of things wasn't there until high school. I didn't eat anything except for macaroni and cheese, Chinese food, and peanut butter sandwiches until high school. I was a very picky eater. And it wasn't until I was wanting to be the best athlete I could be, and I realized the role that nutrition could play in that, that I really started honing in on the nutrition side. But you know, as a type A perfectionist kind of person, I took it to an extreme and unfortunately fell into anorexia for a year because I just had a lot going on in life. I didn't feel like I was in control over personal circumstances. And so I wanted control over something. And it wasn't until I started personally working with a dietitian and really came out of that, I was able to get strong again, take care of my body again in a healthy way, and in a truly healthy way. And win the state championship my senior year of high school in cross country, go on to sign with the University of Florida for their cross country and track team. And that's when I worked with a sports dietitian on the D1 college athlete level. And then that's like where I fell in love with the career, because that dietitian really helped me so much. And she just really helped, you know, me as an athlete, me as a college student, just really was there for me. And I realized this is what I want to do. Like, I want to help people like this dietitian's helping me. And so I actually went to college, even though I had already had some, you know, prior experience with nutrition in high school and my own story with nutrition. I actually went to college with a double major of business and psychology, wanting to go to law school because that was the safe job to do. And it wasn't until sophomore year after working with that sports dietitian that I switched my major, went into the sciences, even though I hated the sciences, and decided that I was going to get through it because this is what I was really passionate about.
That's so funny that you brought up that you wanted to go to law school and you had a double major, because I did the same thing. Like I went to college at the Ohio State University. I'm saying that sarcastically because it cracks me up that they do that. But
I get corrected by them all the time for that, actually.
Yeah. They're like, you mean the? And I'm like, okay, I am the Kelly Alexa. Should I do that too? But I went there the first 4 years and, you know, kind of just futzed around. And I think I was fashion merchandising, because that was like the thing when I was younger. And then I moved to Florida to chase a boy and told my parents were like, what are you doing? But when I came back and got serious about school, I thought I was going to go to law school. And I really firmly believed I was going to go to law school. So I had a double major and three minors. And when I graduated, probably because my parents were like, you can only stay in our house so much longer, Kelly, get a life. I was not that like millennial who wanted to live with my parents forever. Yeah. I wanted to get out. And when I started studying for the LSAT, that changed my opinion on being a lawyer, because I couldn't do it. I was like, no way, this is intense. Just the book on
that.
But yeah, that's interesting. And I had no idea, actually, that you had a history of anorexia and in high school. You know, that's something we've, you know, I mean, we're kind of leading into part of the topic that we're going to talk about, which is, you know, having a life and having fitness be something that, fitness and health be something that is a healthy pursuit and something that adds to and enhances your life, but that you have a life. It doesn't become an unhealthy obsession. We've actually had several ladies on the show that have either dealt with bulimia, anorexia, or several kinds of different variations, if you will, of eating disorders. And it's so much more common than we think. And I know a lot of ambassadors in the fitfluential community have suffered from that and come back. It's encouraging to know that you've come back from that. And I want to ask you, when you were in high school, I don't want to spend too much time on this, but for so many of the women that are listening to this that either know somebody, we did poll our audience and 75%+ of them either know somebody who has an eating disorder or they're dealing with an eating disorder. And so this is why I want to ask, you know, it's encouraging to hear that you got past it, that it isn't something, you know, 8 years later that's still haunting you. Who was it that helped you kind of wake up and realize you had a problem and get help? Was it your family? Was it the dietitian? What was the turning point for you with that?
Yeah. So, and just really quickly before I even answer that question, I know like the 75% poll, but I even say, you know, that's even the people that are just going to admit it. There is probably 99% of our population that doesn't have a healthy relationship with food, whether one extreme or the other. And what I've realized is everyone, you know, and it's not even people's faults. Like with our culture and society nowadays, you know, don't eat this. You can't eat this. Follow this diet. Do this. Like you should look like this. Like there's, it's almost impossible, especially as a woman, to have a 100% healthy relationship with food, which is why this is such a big passion of mine, to help you, you know, honor your body and, you know, take care of your body and have a body you feel confident in and, you know, gives you that energy, but in a truly healthy way and not a restrictive way.
That's so true. And I think that, I don't think, this is why I really want to cover this a lot on the show and certainly on our other Fitfluential platforms, because it really is, in my opinion, it's very easy once you get, and, you know, I don't want to say this and discourage people from, you know, pursuing fitness and pursuing a healthy lifestyle. But it is easy, especially, you know, you mentioned, Sarah, you're type A, a perfectionist. That's me to a T. And I have major hormonal imbalances and, you know, hypothyroidism and all of this. So for me, I've had a really rough time, I'm going to say my whole adult life, ever losing weight. And particularly now I'm not at my goal. And that last 10 pounds that's related to my hypothyroidism and even cortisol, it's rough. The perfectionist in me thinks I have to be so rigid, thinks I have to follow so many rules. And I'm able at least to detach myself and see my issues, but it's very easy to get into psychotic thinking about food. Do you agree?
Yeah, it's so easy. And that's why I really like with my one-on-one clients, even if they've never had a history of eating issues and they're just trying to focus on it for the first time, I've, you know, created more of a roadmap where it gets them those physical results. It gets them, you know, those routines and habits that set them up for long-term success. But I also really make sure I work on the mindset because I never want it. It's so easy to, once you start, it become an obsession, whether you're just that driven personality or whether, you know, you start seeing results and then you start wanting more and more and more and more, because that's how as humans we work anyways. And it's hard to find that balance, and it's hard to have that plan post weight loss journey to, you know, how am I going to stay satisfied with this and not try to keep working more and more and more and more? Or even, you know, how am I going to love myself at every part of the journey? Because what I tell people is it's always good to work on a better version of yourself. I'm not saying that you should be so happy with yourself that you never try to work on a better version of yourself, but you should also know how to love yourself and your body at every part of that journey, and how to be, you know, comfortable and confident no matter what part of that journey you are at, and then, you know, start working towards a better version of yourself.
Okay. I wrote down so many great notes, because these are all such important points to drive home. And let's pick up with one of the last things you just said, which is self-love or self-respect, for lack of a, you know, if there's a better way to say it, whatever. But I do think I certainly am working on this with myself. I had a conversation with my man friend about this, you know, last week, because I shared with him, I'm like, you know, we went to see a certain movie, and I'm like, do you see that person? That's how I view myself. I view myself as that out of shape. And he was literally like, what are you talking about? And he said, I really think, and he didn't mean it to be funny, but it's true. He said, I think you need to get back to seeing your therapist. And it's true, because I compare myself to everyone. And I think that so many of us, that's where social media can be bad. Our regular media, I think, started this. And certainly it doesn't help with all of the airbrushed images of women in magazines. The fact that the gossip magazines will pick on women like Oprah or any actress who's ever gained 1 pound, they are relentless. But a man can gain all the weight he wants, and they don't showcase Alec Baldwin eating a sandwich going, oh my God, look at his gut. But they'll do that with Oprah, or they'll do that with this actress. Yep. So what do you think about, you know, with learning to love yourself and accept yourself? I mean, like, how do we even begin to address the comparison game and realize that we shouldn't be comparing ourselves to girls on social media that are photoshopping themselves, or girls that are competing in bikini competitions and are essentially realistically scientifically manipulating their body for 5 minutes on stage, and after they get up on stage, they're literally going to gain 10 pounds the second they eat a hamburger.
Yeah.
How do we start attacking the comparison issue? And what are your suggestions when you're working with clients to get them to stop comparing themselves or seeing themselves that way?
Yeah. So, and the funny thing, not the funny thing, but the, you know, the thing is that almost every single one of my clients struggle with this. And it's something that I've talked about this and like what to do with, like, for this so many times, because I almost didn't even realize until I started coaching individuals. And really, you know, as a dietitian, I don't just give them a nutrition plan and walk away. Like, I like the whole coaching aspect because of being a past athlete and seeing how my coaches really affected my life. And so I really walk the journey with them and tell them, hey, you know, you can talk to me about anything. It doesn't need to be about nutrition or training. It can be about anything. And, you know, my clients learn to open up to me, because that's when true change happens. And so a lot of times they'll start opening up to me about these kind of things. And this, some of, there's a few things that you can really, you know, start doing to really try to decrease how much it's going on in your mind. But the first thing is to admit that, you know, our bodies, all of us are not perfect. And there's always going to be, you know, that little part of you that you don't think is perfect and no one else sees, but you see, because you dwell on the one thing. And it's, you know, knowing that, you know, it's okay to have things that aren't perfect about you, and knowing that that's normal and that's how every person's body is, but being okay with that and loving yourself through it. And, you know, being like, you know, I don't necessarily think that this part of my body is like the most perfect. Like, I don't have the butt like her or whatever, but, you know, that's okay, because everyone has things that they don't like about themselves. And that's just us being imperfect humans. And that's okay. Like, I should love myself through them, because if you can remember how you see your friends, like, I think about, you know, how I hang out with my friends and what I view them as. And I don't see them as any more or less based on their weight or based on what results physically they're experiencing. And so it's like, a lot of times we build these lies up in our head that I'll be loved more if I'm, you know, 5 pounds less, 10 pounds less, you know, lost 5 inches off my stomach. And if you think about it, like, would you love your friends or your family more if all of a sudden they lost 10 pounds? And it's like, when you're honest with yourself and you start breaking down these things going on in your head, you can start realizing that there isn't any truth behind them. And so that's one of the biggest keys, is just to start thinking that way. But another thing is kind of what you already touched on, but, you know, being an influencer as well, I've seen the truth of the fact that everything you see on Instagram is fake. And that's why I try to keep my social media as real as possible, even though, yeah, I take pretty photos. But at the end of the day, it's really hard not to compare yourself to those Instagram models, fitness models, you know, people in the fitness space. And that's why, honestly, as much as I'm a dietitian and trainer, I hate the fitness realm, because I think that it's so fake and it makes people think that this is what they should look like. And that if you just eat healthy and if you just train relatively frequently, that you're going to look like me. And then all of a sudden people, you know, start living their healthy journeys out and they start eating healthier and they start working out a little bit. And they're not looking like that Instagram model. And they're thinking, what's wrong with me? It's my body. Something's wrong with my body. And it's not. It's the fact that these people have gone through rigorous measures and probably deprived themselves a whole ton right before that photo shoot and put on a ton of lighting that's just perfect and edited themselves through Photoshop and taken out all that cellulite and all that kind of stuff off, all the scars off their legs, everything like that. And then they edit it a little bit more in their Instagram app, and then they posted the photo. And it's like, and you know, it's, and I've seen even like some of my, you know, friends I like that are on social media, I see it happening where they're like, oh, like I can't take photos right now because I'm not in like photo shape. Like, so they repost old photos of their photo shoot that, you know, they deprived themselves. They did all those things I just talked about. And then they got the perfect shots in 10 different outfits. And it's like, what do you mean you're not in photo shape? Like, I post photos of my current self all the time, no matter what kind of shape I'm in, because that's what's real. And I think that people think that these people look like this at all times, at all year long. And it's not the case. It's actually that they, you know, deprive their bodies and do these crazy training measures for 2 months out, take a lot of photos, and then, you know, they're back to their normal bodies, and people think that that is their normal body, that ripped cut look, super toned, no fat, no cellulite. And that's a normal, like, as a woman, like, we're meant to have some fat on us. And it's just sad to me, and why I kind of have a love-hate relationship with all of social media and especially the fitness realm of, you know, I love being able to help and empower other people, but I also hate how I see so many other quote unquote coaches out there, almost like, even if they're not trying to, they make people out there think that like, this is what you should look like. This is what healthy looks like. And it's not at all. And so I really try to, you know, bring that home in a lot of my posts of like, no matter what, like your body is your body. And it's, you know, it's so much more important than any number on the scale to, you know, what is a good nutrition plan? What is a good training plan? It's something that's fun. It's something that's sustainable. It's something that, yes, is getting you results, but in a sustainable, fun way that fits your lifestyle so that you can maintain it long term. And it's not just another, you know, 8 week diet and then you're done with it and you're going back to your old self. It's having that sustainable plan in place that becomes just a lifestyle. And, you know, focusing on progress measures like, you know, am I sleeping better? Are my energy levels better? Am I performing better in the gym? And, you know, are my clothes fitting a little bit better? You know, things like that versus any number on the scale, because I think it's so easy to get hung up on that silly number that really means absolutely nothing.
That's so true. And one of the, there are some, to every bad, there's some great. And I do see a lot of great posts on social where some, you know, I think some highly fitfluential people are posting things and they'll show, hey, here's me at, you know, say it's 138 pounds and here's me at 150. And clearly the 150 pounds looks better. And they'll explain like, here's the deal, you know, and trying to get past some of these myths. So there are some good things out there, but there's sometimes a lot more harm. And I do think that a lot of what you illustrated here is that the more we can talk about this, and I feel it's part of my mission on this show and again on our platforms to talk not only about reasonable steps to take to get past disordered thoughts around eating, but also to just shed light on reality. And that's what you brought up, which is, you know, ladies, we've talked about this on the show before. I used to look at Oxygen magazine or Muscle and Fitness Hers or even to some degree Shape magazine, but I was always, you know, kind of more into the more muscly look and to each his own, right? And I did not get that the women that are on the covers of those magazines are literally 4 weeks out, and we've heard this from people that used to run some of these magazines, they're 4 weeks out from competition. Now, for those of you that are listening that don't know well, what the hell are we talking about with competition? You know, if you look up figure competition, bikini competition, this is a whole industry. And there are tens of thousands of folks that are competing in this. And this is not to judge them. They work very, very hard. But here's the deal. Typically, what a woman will do if she's competing in bikini or figure is they'll start usually 12 weeks out, if not earlier, and they are on very specific, I mean, the most precise diets you can possibly imagine. And they're doing a lot of cardio and a lot of weight training. And then when it gets down to those last 4 weeks, that's when they really start to do things like using diuretics. And some of these people are taking some very unhealthy pills that you can get online, like clenbuterol, to really burn fat. And they start manipulating carbs. I mean, it's when I say scientific experiment, they are scientifically doing things, because when they hop on stage in their teeny little bikinis, they have no water in their body. So their muscles, it makes the skin really tight. And that's why they have the veins and whatnot. That's that vascularity. But they've literally stopped drinking water. And so they're getting up there, they're on diuretics, they've manipulated carbs so that the muscles pop, the skin on top of it lays a certain way. Do you guys hear all this? Like, this is not normal. And it looks, let's get real, any bikini competitor who gets on stage, there's no woman that's going to look at that and go, I wish I could walk around like that. Well, guess what? You can't, because like we said, they have manipulated their body so much that by the time they get off stage, and you will see these pictures, they'll go out for pizza afterwards or whatever, and they will gain 10 pounds. And so they don't look that way. It makes me wonder about the industry that rates women and gives them a prize and gives them money when they have manipulated their body in a way that is not a way that they can live. It makes no sense. So I think number one, a part of what can help women is just getting this knowledge out there. When you see somebody on the cover of Oxygen magazine and they say, look inside and what does she eat in a day? And they say, it's still 5 years, 10 years later, it's the same thing. Oatmeal and egg whites for breakfast, black coffee, and then chicken and broccoli every meal. Or sometimes I substitute tilapia. Maybe I'll put some butter spray on it if I've been a good girl. But they're probably doing that, but they're probably eating even less. And it's not reasonable to think you can look like that. So I think that that would be part one, is getting a lot of that information out there. Like, here's the reality of what you're comparing yourself to, ladies. And this is what we need to stop. But then the second part, so I love how you explain that. The second part, one of the things you mentioned earlier are, and I'm going to, this is the way I put it down, food myths. And I think that a lot of what we're talking about here and what I'm working on with myself is a more reasonable approach to eating and fitness. And it doesn't have to be, we get a lot of people, Sarah, that write into Fitfluential and they're like, well, I'm pretty sure I just have to go gluten-free, right? I just have to cut out all carbs, right? I just have to eat paleo, right? And you had mentioned that too. You said there's a lot of people that are putting out phrases on social media. If you just do this, you'll look like this. If you just eat paleo, you can eat all you want and you'll look like this. If you just go keto, and that's baloney. We all need to have a more reasonable approach to eating. But do you see a lot of that and people that are coming to you that are just messed up because they don't know what to trust or what to follow when it comes to food?
Yeah. And so I do see a lot of that. And the funny thing is, the biggest question I get, because I'm a dietitian, is, well, what do you believe in? Which I always say, which diet camp do you fall into? What do you feel about, you know, veganism? Like, what do you feel about keto and stuff? And I kind of just laugh, because I always say, like, I'm a nutrition agnostic. Like, I don't believe in anything, because people forget that nutrition is a science, and they start getting all their emotions and feelings involved. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know how I feel about keto, because I don't really have feelings towards keto, but you know, this is what science shows and this is what research shows. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be what's sustainable and gets you results. And that looks different for every single person. And I wish that I could say that I found one diet out there that works for every single person, because if I did, it would make my job a lot easier. But after working with hundreds of people, I've realized that, you know, every single person works differently with different plans and different programming. And, you know, a busy mom that has 5 kids and a husband to take care of and is also a busy working professional is going to have a completely different plan nutritionally and training wise than a college kid that has all the time in the world to, you know, go to the gym and do this and that. And, you know, even outside of that, out of time and scheduling, you know, people's bodies react to different things better. Maybe someone, you know, thrives on the really low carb diet and honestly likes that and feels best on that and, you know, feels like it is sustainable because they don't really even like eating carbs. And, you know, that's good then. If your body's reacting well to it and you feel good on it and your energy levels are good and it's sustainable for you, then awesome. But, you know, that's not for everyone. And so what I hate to see is when people say, you know, paleo works for me, keto works for me, and it will work for you too, because that's not the truth. And it really takes getting to work with someone one-on-one, which is why these cookie cutter programs out there don't work, because, and you know, maybe they work for a short term, but they're not going to work long term for you because they're not built for your personal. I always say, like, when I build plans out, it's based on your body type, your goals, your preferences, your schedule, your lifestyle, your, like, your individual roles in life. And you can't get that in a cookie cutter program. And that's why, even if people love to follow those super structured plans and cut this out and no, none of this, none of this, none of this, like say Whole30, people swear by it. But then I'm like, well, but what happened after those 30 days? And they're like, well, I went back to my old eating and I ate all the junk food in the world because I like want sugar so badly. And I'm like, exactly. Like, those things work for a short time, but then, you know, you go back to your old ways and it's just almost like proving yourself you can do it. And then you go back and you've actually done more damage than good to your body, because now a lot of times those cookie cutter programs and diet restrictive diets out there, they're actually, yes, you're losing quick weight, but it's usually breaking down muscle and not fat. And so you're losing the wrong kind of weight. And then when you go back to your old ways, because it isn't going to be sustainable, two things happen. Number one, you feel like a failure because you feel like, oh, if only I had more self-control to follow the diet, then I wouldn't be getting these negative results now, but I don't have self-control enough. When in reality, those diets are built to fail. Like, they're not going to be sustainable for anyone. And number two, you're in a worse place than before because now you have less muscle. You have actually replaced the muscle with fat, and so you have a lower resting metabolic rate. And now you can't eat as much without gaining weight. And so that's why a lot of times I like have like this slide where it says a diet transformation. It says the before, the after, and the after after. And like the before is like your normal self, after is like skinny self, and then after after is like actually more, you know, you have more weight on you than before. And that's because you do damage to your body because you put it in a starvation state. And when your body's in a starvation state, it's almost like holding your breath. Like when you hold your breath, your body's thinking, I don't know when I'm going to get air. And it starts putting itself in a survival mode. Well, when you don't eat enough food and you're in a severe calorie deficit, basically your body's thinking, you know, your body doesn't know, oh, I'm just on a diet. There's food in the next room. Your body's thinking, I don't know when the next time I'm going to get food is, so I'm just going to store everything I can. And that's when you go into survival mode and you start storing everything you possibly can. You start replacing muscle with fat because muscle burns more than fat, and your body's smart. It wants to conserve energy. So it's not going to keep the thing, the muscle, it's not going to keep the tissue that burns the most. It's going to replace that with what burns the least, which is fat. And I just went really science-y on you, but.
No, but you did a really good job. You did a really good job because I think, you know, I always, when we're recruiting these shows, I'm always thinking that there's, I know our audience and we have a lot of folks that are really new that are, you know, just kind of figuring out, hey, I've got to get in shape. I work, you know, 90 billion hours a week and I feel like a sloth and how do I get started? And I know where they're at because these are not people that read Men's Fitness or Shape magazine. They're not used to the things that we all talk about. So I'm always thinking about the beginners, but then I'm also thinking about a lot of us like me, you know, I mean, I've been into fitness for 15, 20 years. I'm still, you know, I think the biggest changes that are happening for me are because I'm addressing my body image, my self-consciousness, and frankly, my emotional eating issues, because these are the things that are more damaging overall than if I ate carbs or not. And so I love how you explained it because I think for both of those, you know, categories of people that are listening, you made a lot of sense and you made it very clear that it's not just about, you know, eating less. You've got to find something that works for you. And that in and of itself is saying, hey, guess what? You're not supposed to be on a diet. This is supposed mm-hmm. to be a way for you to find what works for you, find what's healthy, find what you enjoy. And that's mm-hmm. a big part of what I want to do, because the people that are just getting started and maybe people that have been stuck for a while and are doing 2 hours of cardio a day and no weightlifting mm-hmm. and punishing themselves and having, 1,000 calories, and maybe they're not, at an anorexia phase, but they're really just destroying their metabolism. They don't know. This should be an encouraging information set for those folks, as well as newbies who think, eating healthy means broccoli and chicken and I can't ever have a cocktail or go to a cookout. No, yes. It doesn't. It's finding what works for you.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like all my clients, like I tell them, like, I love my red wine. I love my chocolate and I love my ice cream. And those are things I'll never tell myself I can't have. It's just learning how you can fit that in a way that still makes you feel good. Because no, if you overeat or overdrink any of those things, you're not going to feel good. And at the end of the day, that's what we're focusing on, making you feel your best, making you have the energy. And so if you can shift your mind from, oh, I can't eat this, I should eat that, I need to work out, and go more based on, I'm going to work out because it makes me feel good. And when I conquer a hard workout, I know I can conquer anything else life throws at me. And, when I eat this, I feel amazing and I have energy all day. When I eat this, I don't. And I just want to go take a nap. And so when you can shift your mindset and start feeling your body and moving your body because of how things make you feel, then that's when like long-term change happens and it becomes more of a lifestyle. And it's so funny. Some of my clients will text me, being like, texting me drink photos, and they're like, I minded my food manners because of like what you've taught me. But, I also know that I can have this drink and not feel guilty about it. And I love that because I used to not know that. And I used to not know how to fit things in and not feel guilty. I'd either just avoid them or I would have them and then I'd feel super guilty after. And, I empower people to really get those physical results and really, get that plan that's going to give them structure starting out. But then I empower them going forward and transition them into more of a intuitive eating lifestyle where they're not meticulously tracking or measuring, because I don't think that that's a sustainable approach. Unless, some people love tracking, every single day. And if that's, what you like to do, then I tell my clients, if your angle isn't to get away from that, then I can keep giving you, certain macros and stuff to hit. But, my angle for you and how I live my life now is, after having the right nutritional foundation laid and, getting that and getting just empowered yourself and learning what works for you and setting up those routines and habits and learning, what's best for your body and why, then you don't need to do that meticulously like tracking and measuring, because you can fuel your body adequately. You can be feeling your best and you can be having that body that, you feel confident in without all of that stuff. And I like teach people and transition them into a more intuitive eating way after I give them that specific structure to start fueling their body adequately.
I love it. I did the thing I always do, Sarah, and I'm so tight on our schedule today. So I'm sad that we can't go much more over, but we'll definitely have you back on the show because you certainly bring a lot of just a sensible attitude, and you're a trainer, registered dietitian, you have a wealth of experience. So we'd love to have you back on the show. But until then, for everybody that's listening, why don't you tell our community where they can find you and potentially look into hiring you if they're interested in going that route as well?
Yeah, definitely. So my website, sarahgracespan.com, or my Instagram account @freshfit_healthy. Are the two main places where I share things. Instagram is definitely a place where I love when people direct message me. I also have a lot of freebies that, you can get on there and download. So definitely those are the two biggest places I share. A lot of free knowledge on Instagram every single day. So that's definitely a good place to start. And then if you're interested in taking your step further and having that right direction for you personally, then you can go to sarahgracespan.com and find out more information on my coaching.
Awesome. And she has two, I've got them both pulled up right now. She has got two really fantastic websites there. So we will make sure we link all of that up in the show notes on fitfluentialradio.com. Sarah, thank you so much for being on the show. I will follow up with you afterwards on some next steps. For everybody listening, I hope this show was helpful for you. And as I've mentioned before, this is a topic that we are going to be addressing and talking about a lot here on the podcast, but coming up on some Facebook Lives, we'll probably be doing some webinars. So we would love to have your questions. You know, if you have things specifically that you've been struggling with that we can address on future episodes, please don't hesitate to reach out to us. You can email us podcast@fitfluential.com, and we will keep your name and obviously contact information confidential unless you give us explicit permission to share your name. So don't worry about that. But we want to make sure that we're answering your questions and addressing, you know, hey, I'm dealing with this. I can't get past this, you know, habit. Can you help me? We will work with you on that. And we certainly have an extensive lineup of guests, both real life people with, you know, real life, how I'm dealing with eating issues and how I've transformed and gotten past them, to expert practitioners, both on the mental health side of things and on the medical side of things, that can help provide some clarity there. So stay tuned for that. Of course, you can also use podcast@fitfluential.com to email us if you would like to recommend anyone you know in particular that we can interview on the show. We are on a waiting list, and we are scheduled for quite a lot of shows going out through the rest of the year, but we would absolutely love to hear from you on that note. For everybody, have a good rest of the week. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you next time on Fitfluential Radio.
Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. This marks the end of our interview with Sarah Grace. I hope you enjoyed it. We, of course, encourage you to connect with her directly on her website and her social media channels. They'll be linked up in the show notes over at thekellyoshow.com. If you have any questions for me on this episode, on future episodes, if you'd like to inquire about advertising or sponsorship opportunities, or if you'd like to nominate somebody that I interview on the show coming up, we will be going on location in 2020. So if you'd like us to visit your location, you can let us know. But you can email my assistant directly, Angie@kellyalexa.com, or you can simply fill out the contact me form on kellyalexa.com as well. That's a great way to get a hold of me directly. Lastly, if you have a chance, if you haven't done so already, we would certainly appreciate it if you take a few minutes of your time and leave us a review on the show, if you're enjoying it, over at iTunes. The more reviews that we have show up there, the more that our show will show up for new people who could really benefit from the information that we're sharing here. I'm putting a lot of time and effort into this and investment, and we certainly have big plans for the show going forward to serve you, and we would love to serve more people so that more people can get healthy and wealthy and happy with their lives going forward. I really appreciate it, and until next time, we'll see you soon.